Hello, my name's Ross Briley, the floating head of Ross Briley. Can you see me out there? I don't know. I'm always for a high-vis vest for Christmas. But look, what do you want for Christmas? Is it 2 days at Cheltenham? Well, that's what you're getting, so like it or lump it. We are off to Prestbury Park for Friday and Saturday, and because it is the festive season and your letters to Santa were intercepted by the Racing Post, we are bringing you two nights of In the Know as we get excited about some top-class National Hunt action as the festive period starts to kick into gear. So what is it? The 11th of December now, so, you know, but in the next 20 days, I reckon between us on the panel and you at home, we'll have watched about 17,000 hours of racing. But that's what we want, isn't it? That's what we want. We've got some potential new superstars coming to the fore tomorrow. A Henderson novice chaser, potentially, a race that Nicky likes to target. And we've got some old favourites as well. Lompress returning off top weight in a handicap. It worked for him last year. Can it work for him this year? That is the question. Like and subscribe if you haven't done so already, and get involved in the chat. And if the first few comments aren't to do with my jumper and us cocking up that intro video, I'd be absolutely flabbergasted. King of Morland says, does Ross know we can see that jumper? Yes, straight in. Paul Neary says, that jumper's making me a little queasy. Yes, straight in. And Tom Flack says, no jumper tonight, Ross. Loving Tom Flack, that's the best one. Hello to Ben Chapman. Hello, Ben.
Producer Ben,
shouldn't he be working?
Should be the gallery, shouldn't he?
And ADHADX1D, hello sir, good evening to you. To Tom Leach as well, and to Scotty Rudds, who says, where is Keely? He will be with us tomorrow, I do believe. But for tonight, we have three people in the studio. It's a lonely old job being a broadcaster who deals mostly with remote Zoom calls these days, so what an absolute joy it is to see Mr. Robbie Wilder.
It's lovely,
right,
mate,
next to me.
And it's very nice not to have a horrible earpiece in your ear. I know you've still got one,
but I've still got one.
Myself and the man to my left don't have to worry about it.
You don't. And can I just say that Robbie Wilder's and Keith Melrose are stable for the evening. Lovely. This is lovely. This is beautiful. You've balanced each other out. You are yin and yang. It's great. I love it.
Yeah, this cost a few more quid than my shirt on the episode last time, which readers, viewers will remember, it was only £3.
It was £3.
How much do you reckon this was, mate?
£3.25, including postage and packing.
$40.
$40?
US purchase, Arkansas.
Right.
Yep. A brand called Old Navy, don't know if you're familiar.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that a
Debenhams?
$40, yeah. What does that translate to in pounds?
I don't know. The economy's screwed, isn't it? So quite frankly, who knows? Yeah. Who knows? What's your cheapest piece of clothing that you own, Keith?
Oh, well, I'm a bit of a vintage troller these days.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I've got a few things that cost like £2. Probably cost more in buyer protection than it did in actual clothes.
Yeah, yeah. It costs more in petrol to deliver it to your house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, it's good, isn't it? My favourite is particularly smart clothes, whereby someone's clearly bought it for a wedding, put on half a stone, worn it once, has to sell it for like £20. Bang, straight in. Absolute bargain.
Love to see it.
Loved it.
You've expounded to me before the virtues of going to posh places and charity shops.
The charity shops in Kensington. You get the tube there specifically.
Last time I was in Edinburgh, my hometown, I went to the Morningside charity shops, actually, inspired by what you said.
Did you get anything nice?
No.
No, fair enough. How have we got onto this?
Very busy.
Yeah, it is very busy. It is true.
They all know. They all know.
Very strange that three men dressed as they are talking about fashion. But anyway, let's crack on, shall we, to the action tomorrow and Saturday. Although, since the last time we spoke, I think it's worth just... It seems a long time ago now, but I was just speaking to Racing Post very own Stuart Riley, who I thought wrote an absolute banger of a roundup about Ilite Tomp bolting up at Sandown last week. It's very rare that you read something post-race or in-race, because I imagine the people who are doing the reports, a lot of the time I imagine you go into sort of autopilot because it's the same things, you know, we'll go for this race and the trainer said that and so on and so on. And you could tell that Stuart enjoyed that a lot. And it was a really, really good piece. And I told him, and he said, yeah, he said, I thought that was one of my best pieces. And I told my wife, and she went, oh, great. Anyway, what do you want for dinner? And no one's mentioned
not
it.
Not interested.
So, Ilite Tomp last week.
I'm afraid I didn't see the piece, but I did see the race.
Yeah.
And boy, was he impressive. Although actually a lot slower than Lulamba, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah,
over the same trip.
Very fast finish, wasn't it? For Sandown, it was 103 or something at Sandown.
Yeah.
I've seen numbers in the mid-80s over the chase track there. It can be really slow finishing. So Yeah, I mean, that was the only sort of thing that tempered it for me, if anything. I mean, he's very impressive.
Tempered it.
Hey.
Yeah, it was the only thing. I mean, he's very, very impressive, wasn't he? But yeah, it was a little bit sort of crawl, crawl, sprint for Sandown. And but yeah, he's very impressive.
Have you seen anything this week that you like the look of? Anything, or from the last weekend as well? Anything slightly under the radar? Ooh, I quite like that.
Throwing a curveball there now. I thought we were going to talk about our Spotify listening age at the start of this. 81 for those asking. So
yours is 81?
Yeah, yeah.
81.
Oh, I'm an old hand.
Yeah, well, I mean, wearing Old Navy would be exactly. That way, wouldn't it?
Yeah, my top artist is Fred again, who is my age, 32.
I thought you were going to say Fred Astaire then. I was like, yeah, fair enough. That makes sense.
No. Fred again, eh?
I don't know Fred again, no.
No, he lives locally, actually. He's 360.
How do you know?
Because producer Sam, producer Bell, actually saw him in the boozer, at a local boozer a few weeks ago.
So. I think you were confused. I think they saw a bloke and went, that's Fred again.
Nah.
He's just in there all the time.
Look on Fred again's TikTok, mate. This guy's a real deal, and he was in the Thirsty Bear recently, so.
Right. Fair enough. Can confirm, says producer Bell. Lovely stuff. Right, let's crack on to the racing, but not without saying that King of Moreland says worst jumper since Constitution Hill.
Hey.
It's good.
I thought we'd get through a show without talking about that horse.
No, but at least that reference was worth it.
It was, to be fair. It's a good reference.
It was a good reference.
It's not his fault this horse has been over-talked about.
It's not his fault. Right, Festive Feast. Don't forget, if you are bored by 8 a.m. on Christmas Eve, which is highly likely, you can tune into our Christmas racing preview, which includes myself, Mr. Wilders, Mr. Rodway, and a lowercase Paul Cooley.
I was just about to say that.
He's been demoted.
Let's get a more accurate sub out next time.
He's been demoted there, so we'll be recording that the day before. We'll be going through all the big races at Christmas. So let us know on social media if you want us to pick up any particular races, horses, or anything like that over the Christmas period. So, right, let's crack on then, shall we, in terms of Cheltenham Friday's card. Like I said, Friday and Saturday. And we're kicking off with a fascinating little novices hurdle. Old Park Star is 13-8 favourite. Kingston Queen 5-2. Manila Marathon 5-1. Lisbon Park 5-1. Our Boy Stan is 10-1. And then 16-1 and bigger the rest. And Old Park Star heading the betting here for Henderson and De Boinville. And crucially, the fact that this horse is trained by Nicky Henderson is an interesting point. Obviously, the owners have switched horses from Nichols to Henderson. They've had two very impressive hurdlers win, Active Innocence and an Old Park Star. So, however, they have won races that you would kind of, well, not expect them to win, but again, we were saying last week about horses who make their entry level win, and then you go to something like this and you go, right, carry a penalty, let's see how good you are.
Yeah, sure. But it's not an easy race, is it? At all. No. I thought this was a really deep race for the grade. I mean, it could pass as a grade two, really, for me. I thought there was one which absolutely stood out, jumped off the page. I thought this was a complete rick. Our Boy Stan, I don't know if you'd agree, Ben Paulin. What I like to do with these races, where we haven't got loads of form to go off, I like to get the stable tour out, do a Control F.
Yeah.
I'd be like Ben Paulin's stable tour, yeah?
Yeah.
Control F, Our Boy Stan. He is the speediest novice hurdler we have. He could be our best. He was massively backward last season. He looks great now. And his form's just working out really well, essentially.
Today, it's worked out today.
Yeah, exactly. The horse he beat at Kempton has come out and won by 7 lengths. The horse he beat at Foss last night's return, it looked quite a workmanlike performance. He was only 4-9, but the horse he beat came out and gave a good horse, Baron Noir, I swear, who I understand is partially owned by a very own Bet Chapman. Baron Noir was a Punchdown Festival bumper winner. This Old Boy Stan, I like his form lines, I like his price a lot. And when Paulin says that, something like that, it jumps off the page to me. A trainer of his calibre, of his standing. So double figures, yes please, each way. That'll do.
So do you think the margin of victory last time out is disguising his ability?
Yes, quite possibly. I mean, he's going to come forward for it, certainly.
Yeah.
He's a half brother to Go Dante as well, should add. I like that pedigree. Good handicap hurdler. He's going to go on any surface, it seems, from what he's done so far. So I thought that was a rick at double figures.
All right. Our Boy Stan, who's a 10-1 shot. And Ben Pauling, who has probably, I guess, made his name with your chasing types. I mean, every time I click onto a Leicester or a Foss Lass or a wherever, really, Ben Pauling seems to be having a point-to-point recruit bolt up in an office hurdle.
Yes, and I mean, I've been watching obviously I watch more chasers, but he's got loads of good young chasers as well. Yeah. He's really getting the ammo all of a sudden, isn't he? And
Diva Luna today.
Yes, exactly. And something I've said to Rob before about Ben Pauling is that, remember when Henderson's yard was at their best with their chasers, I'm pretty sure Ben Pauling was the assistant in those days.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it was Ben Pauling, Tom Simmons and Ben Pauling, wasn't it?
Yes,
that
I think
time?
So, yeah. They were both around then. Tom Simmons might have been just before, but anyway, those were the two guys around then. He's just mustered with these sorts of horses. And I think our boy Stan being that sort of price in this race tells you how deep it is.
Yep.
It is a little bit of a pay your money, take your chance race, because you could have a 140 horse here and it finishes third, you know, not on the day necessarily, but, you know, by the end of the season.
Yeah.
It's a race with a good history. You know, you've had Alexia de Nuts has won it, Chantry House has won it,
yeah.
That's all right, Gino's won it. You know, it's a
Dice
race.
Dice Enos a couple of
Enos won it a couple of years ago. So it's loads of good horses have won it. It's going to live up to that. You know, Robbie has really, he's gone in with our boy Stan. It's a sexier bet than the one I had. I mean, Lisbon Park is the one I've sort of come down on a little bit, and it's similarly quotes after when he won at Exeter last time came from Joe Tizzard, and he said, "I saw this horse at the entry sales. It was the only horse I wanted."
Yeah.
So obviously quite a good looker, I would imagine, because Joe Tizzard has is more than his share of like big strapping chasing types, and that's his stock in trade really. And yes, this horse is by Walk in the Park. However, it's French Flat on the dam side, which, you know, gives you a bit of encouragement that he's four and he's running over 2 miles, that he can be speedy enough for it. And he carted through that Exeter race.
Well, and also the fact that Tizzard's hurdlers in particular seem to improve massively for a run. So the fact that I think he was weak in the market, I think partly because of that, and he absolutely dotted up.
He did, and well, the back to third, we're going to come back to the third, he runs later on this card actually.
Yes, he does, Kel DeLarge. Yep,
the three of them just came clear very easily, and Lisbon Park just absolutely cruised through it. And, you know, he's won by 3.5 or whatever lengths, but he was value a lot further than that. And I just think he's the sort of horse going places. Look, you might find a couple or a little bit more forward, but it is a race where there's probably 3, 4 140 plus horses here.
Yeah.
So definitely keep an eye.
Yeah, although that said, again, the favourite won very well in a good time, and obviously Yard are very much hitting their stride at the moment. So it could be one of those ones where you're like, oh, there's loads of future superstars in here, and then the 6 or 4 favourite
wins. Could have been more. What's the fun in that, Ross?
No, I agree.
You got to find something else, because we haven't got much evidence to go off, have we?
No, fair enough. Our boy Stan Scotty Rudd says, yes, Robbie, go on, son.
Well done, Scotty.
And Pompey Chris has also backed our boy Stan. So maybe Pompey Sam in the production studio might well have to follow on with that as well. Okay, that's the opener at Cheltenham tomorrow. The 12:40 at Cheltenham is a novice's chase. Again, a small but select field. It's actually a fascinating little race, this. Califet and Vol is 5-4. 6 Mile Bridge, 15-8. Royal Infantry, 5-2. And Tintin is 40-1, the outsider of the bunch. Of course, the favourite here beat the very talented No Questions Asked, the very talented Jax Jr., in the City Banks at Huntingdon last year. And this is a race we're talking about, that storied history, Keith. This is if Nicky likes a novice chaser, he tends to run them in this race. I mean, as recently as last year, Django Bay won this and obviously went on to win the Arkle. But 6 Mile Bridge looked green and inexperienced last time out, and still bolted up at Ayr. And Royal Infantry, to me, every time I see this horse, is chaser, clearly going to relish jumping a fence. I thought I'm looking forward to this.
It's a race with a really storied history like the last. I mean, I'm looking at 6 Mile Bridge, of course. I thought he won that Ayr race a bit by default. Derry Hass and Paddy just did not jump a twig. The third, I forget the name, but it just about fell 2 out. So the form of the Ayr race doesn't make a lot of appeal to me, but obviously quite a promising horse. Henderson sending one to this race, as you say, is a big sort of sign, but I like to get against Henderson chasers as a general rule. They often go off a lot shorter than they ought to be. And Royal Infantry possibly is the one, but mid-season application of a tongue tie itself is never a positive sign either. So I'm of the view that this is, whereas the first race is a race with a fairly storied history that is absolutely going to live up to it, I've got a sense that this is a race with an even more storied history that I don't think is going to live up to it this year. I look at these horses and think, they could be, there's potential there, but there's also reasons to doubt them.
Well, I mean, the favourite's rated 137. which is pretty low for the last few years. Mm. I mean, obviously, you've got your My Drogos are 150 plus, but I don't know, Ginny's Destiny, I think 140 plus at least normally in this kind of race.
Yeah, absolutely.
Royal Infantry, I can see the tongue tie because this was, I cannot believe this horse finished out of the three.
Yeah.
I napped it, I backed it each way, I watched it, I was rubbing my hands together, I was like, come on, and he just went out like a light. So clearly it's a... It's
yeah, a the tongue tie's a bit concerning, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, Califer and the Vol, I mean, he's not of his form ones worked out pretty well. I mean, he didn't get home at Aintree, but he wasn't far from the new line at Newbury, who won the Challo, obviously, as we know. And he beat No Questions Asked in the Sydney Banks, and that's a good novice chaser, Ben Paulins. So, yeah, just the fact he runs out, and Henderson doesn't send too many to Cheltenham first time out when he does, they're normally, well, potentially a bit special. So that was the way I was looking. Talking about the 6 mile bridge race, I heard Derry Hassan Paddy is apparently listed out of training now.
Oh, is he? Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
So, yeah, found out from Mr. Matt Rennie, Northern Reporter.
Oh, that's you can find
out on the BHA site. That's actually a good resource to pass on. Like, yeah, so you can find if a horse is out of training on the BHA site.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of admittedly how he found it, I assume. But I got the information from him.
I mean, he didn't. Everything went wrong for him last time out. The horse who nearly came down and made most of the running, and is actually running tomorrow as well.
Oh, right.
In the 11:40 at Doncaster in a 2-horse race.
Yeah, you're not going to learn much there.
I wouldn't have looked at it because I just skip matches as soon as I see them.
Yeah, fair.
Who cares, yeah.
Fair.
Califer and Vol. But you wouldn't really want to bet on him at the same time.
I think Royal Infantry is the one to bet, if anything. You know, it's a race where two of the three biggies are chasing debutants. The one who isn't a chasing debutant made a fair few mistakes on his chasing debut.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to kick on at the start of the second circuit. They're going to sort of dawdle around a little bit, and it's going to help a horse like Royal Infantry, who maybe isn't seeing his races out like he could. That Silver Trophy form at Chepstow is working out absolute gangbusters, isn't it?
True enough.
So if I was, I don't think I will bet in this race, but if I was betting, I think I'd be leaning towards Royal Infantry for the reason that I'm not sure the doubt about him is going to get really... the bruise is going to be punched to the extent that it might.
Back to lay, though, I feel.
Yes.
Royal Infantry. Put it back in at 1.9 or something.
Yeah, absolutely. There could be a lot of... Well, if it's a crawl again as well, there's going to be lots of action, lots of 1-point-somethings on horses in this race. So, yeah, it's a really good play in a race like this.
5-2 Royal Infantry at the moment, though. That's the 12:40. As for you in the chat at home, Tom... Tom Leach is napping number 5 in this race. Right, okay, fair enough. Johnny Schofield says, I saw Keith at Haydock on Betfair Chase Day, and he's massive. I'd only ever seen him sat down, so it was a surprise. You are a tall lad.
6'3"? Well, I give myself 6'4". 6'3¾", but I'll give myself 6'4".
Yeah, you got the edge on me just.
But yeah, I wonder if Johnny... Is Johnny the chap who came up to me and said he was surprised how tall I was?
Yeah.
I told him I've got small man energy, you see.
Well, no, but do you not have the? Are you one of those tall people who, when they were younger, you know, if you get ribbed for being tall, I feel a lot of tall people sort of like walk around like that.
It's also hard to like hold. You've got more up there, so it's harder to hold it up.
Yeah,
who's getting ribbed for getting tall? Like, I think everyone wants to be tall, don't they?
Yeah, but when you're a kid, you stand out in any vague way, and you get ribbed for it, don't you?
Oh,
yeah, but you have the last laugh when everyone's stop growing, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But here he is having the last laugh.
Yeah, needless to say, I had the last laugh.
Yeah, jumping out of airplanes. with boxes of milk.
He's good at tennis as well, but while you're here, Johnny Schofield, so.
Yeah?
This man's a good tennis player. Yeah.
Well, it's because
he's got that power, isn't he? Andy Roddick.
Ivo Karlovic.
Yeah. 1:15 at Cheltenham is up next. Handicap hurdle over 2 miles and a furlong where 11 of them line up. And French Emperor is 5-2. Fortune Demur, 3-1. Le Lupa, 5-1. Iberico Lord, 6-1. Keldelage, 15-2. Melon, 9s. Brentford Hope, 14s. Continuance is 20s. And then Stoner's Choice, No Ordinary Joe. Thank God Keels isn't here. And Moutard also make up the field here. And this is very much one of these races that you could draw a line about halfway down that betting through horses who come into this in very, very good nick and horses who we've all backed and go, well, yeah, but hear me out. Today he might bounce back because there's a lot of them. No Ordinary Joe is the biggest one, but I keep looking at Brentford Hope and thinking the same.
Well, yeah, well, he ran last week at Exeter and it looks like this is just, yeah, they've just turned him out quickly again. Have they abandoned chasing? I don't know.
Yeah, but me and Robert Fox haven't... riding, I mean, she might transform.
Oh, no.
As far as Melon's still knocking around as well.
Yeah, exactly. He's gone back in years as well. It's like Benjamin Button is Melon. Yeah.
He's a champ manager regen, Melon. That's him. But
we had exactly that chat about No Ordinary Joe. It's like, when are they going to say, right, when are they going to get him ready? Because, I mean, he's off 1-3-2 now.
Which one are you talking about?
No Ordinary Joe.
Oh no! Oh,
no,
I
mean,
no.
We had this, no, no, I'm not backing him. Not backing him.
Great, Faye Bramley, though. Don't know if you're watching the show, Faye, but we respect you as a trainer.
Oh, she's fantastic. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. She's doing a great job. But
when are they going to get him ready?
But it's the look, it's hard, isn't it? Because No Ordinary Joe obviously was previously owned by JP, and Iberico Lord is the new No Ordinary Joe at the age of 7 or not, because since he fell, was it last season? He seems to have completely gone at the game. However, there's always an asterisk with a JP horse who looks to have completely gone at the game and is tumbling down the handicap. However, we have three horses at the top of the betting: French Emperor, Fortune Demer, and Le Looper, who are in very, very good form. Unexposed five-year-olds. French Emperor in particular, Nikki Martin, 6 from 9 since the season started.
Wow.
I mean, she just seems to go, you know what, yeah, let's send out a winner today and then not run one for another couple of weeks. But it was hard to know because it was that Cheltenham race where it was running it practically with the lights off. But, and there is a slight caveat in the back of my mind that it took the best, the widest route. I might be slightly flattered by that. But two handicaps, two wins, by narrow enough margins so that the handicapper can't properly clobber him. Sean Bowen in the saddle, receiving lumps of weight from Fortune Demer as well. It's another one where I'm kind of thinking, almost a play spot banker for me a little bit, French Emperor.
Yeah, I get it. I just think, right, in this card, there are two top weights who have the potential to blow their races apart. One's rated 162, another one's rated 136. And that's Iberico Lord here. We'll talk about Lompress later. But if he gets back to anything like the form he's capable of, he's going to win this, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's only 7. I
mean, but again,
I can't remember.
Is Henderson getting him back, though? That's not... How often does Henderson... But he didn't. He was a stone below his best.
Yeah. But the problem is what price... What price do you want to take about a horse like Iberico Lord in a race like this that where you think, I'm getting value for hoping that today's the day he's revitalised?
Well, I think he's very fairly priced.
Yeah. I mean, on the upside, I'd crunched a few seasons ago the numbers of JP McManus horses in handicaps, single figures, back them at single, make a huge profit. Yeah. If they're in double figures, they've got no chance. So actually, 6 to 1.
What are you insinuating?
You know what? You'd rather.
What are you insinuating?
Well, but it's interesting because people think, oh, yeah, but I wouldn't back it. But your 6 to 1 shots are probably 3 to 1 shots, and your 16 to 1 shots are probably 33 to 1 shots.
That's it. I mean, if you're 7 to 2 before the off, I'd almost rather back him then before the off than that. 10 to 1 before the off sort of thing. It's one of those. I mean, you don't need to... It's form a couple of years ago is obviously top class, beating Loda Sudu, who was off something 129 at Newbury.
Yeah.
And he's won the Great Wood in a ridiculously good time and then supplemented for the champion hurdle. So it's been pretty poor since.
Yeah, but again, it looks like... It almost looks, you know, Fellett's Ascot, Kempton. In my head, they always mix them up.
Kempton... Ascot. I'm not Ascot, sorry, yeah, but he was even great at Kempton, really.
Fellett Ascot, beaten 20 lengths, 43 lengths, 45 lengths, 26 lengths since.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't bode well for taking 6 to 1, does it? But he just runs in better races than this normally.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
And if he comes forward for his Greatwood run, then he's got a chance, isn't he?
I mean, even that day he was single figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which so maybe suggests they thought, well, he was.
But a lot of horses finished out the back of the telly in that race. It developed into a bit of the first 4 miles clear of everything else, so I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that form worked, because I mean, we've seen Mirabad win, but Gibbs Island, Cracking Rhapsody, Rubber Ball, No Ordinary Joe have also run out of it and run poorly. So it was one of those weird races that I almost think whether there's a potential, Keith, the next run out of that race, everything runs poorly again because it was such a slog.
I was about to say, quite telling, none of the first 7 or 8 have run since, you know, and maybe tells you its own story a bit about how that race has been viewed and you know, the tough test it was for the horses that day. So yeah, I think that's a fair point.
Yeah. What do you like in this?
I promise I've watched more than one race in preparation for this. But I watched the Lisbon Park race because I was interested in Kel DeLarge, who is, you know, he had 2 years off the track before that race, but he went off 8-13 Fav. They backed him quite heavily, and by all accounts he looked quite fit beforehand too. However, he didn't sort of, the thing is, you can, even after 2 years, no matter how fit you think you've got them, you can sometimes find that after such a long break, can you, that they don't, they aren't back to where you thought they were. And he did run like a horse that was just short of a gallop, to be honest.
He's a proper soft ground horse as well.
Yeah. Give a look at his bumper form as well. You know, look at what his earlier runs in bumpers in his hurdling debut. Yeah. Tell me that's not a 114 horse, you know. That's his handicap rating he's got for this race. He's in off the bare sort of he's in off a very, very low mark. And Jane Williams having a great old time of it. She had 9 winners in the last fortnight, 2 winners, 4 seconds and a third.
But there's a horse yesterday at Hereford Despero who is always in the frame, always, and he was gunned from the get-go. I think Isabel Williams rode him. And I was watching that race and I was thinking, yeah, he's not going to get home. And they all came for him and he just kept going and going and going. And, that, you know, again, sometimes a light bulb goes off going, OK, if he's done that, then yeah. I need to be wary of that yard because he doesn't normally do that.
Yeah, the yard is going, like, I think surprisingly, because obviously Chester's sit up on his own now, and you wonder if that would have an effect, but the yard's going great guns.
So, yeah, I mean, again, 15-2, yeah, it's worth chancing. I mean, you say, I mean, the horse he beat on his hurdle debut, Don Virginia, he beat him senseless. He's rated 1.27.
Mm. Is he your fancy as well, Ross?
I think the Fav and Kael Delage, French Emperor and Kael Delage, were the two that Fortune Demers too keen. Le Looper, I'm worried about the ground. Iberico Lord, I'm worried his head's gone. Melon's not as good as he was 7 or 8 years ago. and the rest of them. Again, I keep looking at Brentford Hope, but he feels like... I feel like maybe Newbury in February might be where...
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Like, the way Derham's campaigning him, he's quite happy to run them.
Yeah.
Without like being a really lay them out type, he's happy to run them and find out a bit, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Which says to me that, you know, there's nothing to be inferred from him running tomorrow. They're just going, right, well, chasing didn't work.
Yeah.
We'll go back to this.
So I think he'll come tumbling down and find his race at some point. Let's have a look. Paul says, like a good meal, my bets will start with melon.
I love that comment, Paul. Can I just say, well done. Well done on that one.
That's good. You'll be having a ball.
Marvellous.
Lovely stuff. Let's have a look. Eden says, like a good court appearance, I'm hoping for a continuance. That's too highbrow for us, I think. I don't know legal terminology, Eden. And let's hope that nothing happens in my life where I have to. So what else have we got? No to Iberico Lord says, Andy, continuance a very good chance along with French Emperor. And Kael Delage, I agree with Keith, should win this as Pompey Chris. Moving on then. 150 at Cheltenham, and 'tis the season. Ballon Press, 4-1. The Doyen Chief is 5-1. King Turgeon is 5-1. Henry's Friend is 6-1. Heracles Westward 6s. The Short Go, 15-2. Blaze the Way, 8. Gowell Road, 9-1. And we've also got Cruise Control in here as well. Now, this is a staying handicap chase. And there's only one man we go to for those. Robbie, what do you...
I'll pass the buck.
Mr. Keith Melrose, you love a staying chase. And if you love a staying chase... You've got to love Lompress as a horse.
I love Lompress as a horse. My P&L does not love Lompress as a horse particularly. I have backed him for more races, although he's given me some nice each way collections, but he's never, I don't think he's won a big race when I've had him on side. Horse I like an awful lot. I think you said about him reappearing in handicaps before. Last year he reappeared in the King George, but he has won the rehearsal.
Yes, that was the year before, wasn't it?
Might have even been the year before that.
Yeah.
But yes, he has won a big, and he beat the Roland Merrick winner. Giving him tons of, you know, yeah.
into overdrive.
That's the fella, and it beat him pointless at it. So it was a really good performance first time out. You know, third in a King George first time out last season, 12 lengths beaten. But remember, the first two were Ile Francais had a bit of the run of it, and Banbridge was the only horse fast enough to catch him.
Yeah, and it was a brutal King George, wasn't it?
Yeah,
so finishing third, beaten in that at the age of 9 was.
So yeah, and I do like the angle of these horses with class just absolutely picking them up and carrying them. It's the old James Willoughby theory about the handicap ratings are actually too condensed, and that good horses are much better than handicappers than the current handicap scale can allow.
And Graham's Rodders has been banging on about that all through the flat season as well, in terms of there just aren't enough horses around.
Exactly, yeah, absolutely. Well, imagine getting Graham Rodway and James Willoughby in a room together.
I know.
I would pay to watch that.
I mean, you see, you've got a piece called Great Minds, but that's what we want to see.
Frost
Nixon, that is. That's what we want to see.
There is a Graham Rodway piece coming out, and Robbie's told me about, and viewers, watch out for that.
It's going to be good.
Keep your eyes peeled. But Long Press... Yeah, but he's well found. He's 4-1. You know, I do like the angle in this in these races. However, it's actually quite a good race. The Doyen Chief again takes no finding. I'm not going to judge him too harshly for what happened in the Coral Gold Cup because he took fright at the tape going up in his face.
Yeah, there was four horses in that were beat from the get go.
I backed three of them.
Katate Dori,
Doyen Chief,
Gorgeous Tom.
I think I only bought two of them, to be honest. And it was those two, yeah. But I had those, and anyway, so it's that one. And you could go, it's quite a deep race going down. However, I actually, when I put these two up, I put the two outsiders of the field up. The market's correcting itself on one of them. It's correcting itself on Blaze the Way, who, if it's trained by any other Mullins, would already be 5-1. Yep. But me and Mags Mullins went unnoticed for a long time. But Mags Mullins, she pulled a stroke on Hatton's Grace Day in a bumper with a last runner, you know.
Yeah.
And she's got a really good Cheltenham record, 2 wins, 2 seconds, and 3rd, I think, from 11 runners at Cheltenham. So, you know, she definitely targets them here. This horse was a 3-miler over hurdles. They've generally campaigned him over quite a lot shorter over fences. He tends to hang left. He hung left when he came to Uttoxeter and ran here on Midlands National Day last year. And he also hung quite notably left at Punchestown on a Grade 3 2-mile-on-2 novice chase last time. But that aside, he jumped well. Mm. He led them most of it. He jumped himself to the front, actually, in that race halfway round. I just looks like a quite an interesting horse. And moving him straight up to 3-mile-2.5 for his handicap debut over fences. Again, if Emmett Mullins did that, everybody would be, there'd be, it'd be the front page of the Racing Post.
Well, and it's not even Emmett. If Emmett, Willie, Cromwell, De Bromhead, Elliot, any other Irish trainer, they go, this has been the plan all along.
Absolutely so. And Mags Mullins has done it. And this horse was 12-1 2 or 3 hours ago. Yeah. Unfortunately, into like 8.5-1 now. But
feels like a horse who might go out again the other way when the, because again, you're not going to get your, oh, you know, Mags Mullins has sent one over. You're not going to get those.
Absolutely. Whereas, you know, if this was again Cromwell, De Bromhead's, Emmett Mullins, this is just going to tumble, and it goes off 7-2 favourite, I think. But maybe with the yard, people get put off it just a little.
And also hasn't actually really run in soft ground. I mean, only run what, once in soft ground in the past sort of 6 or 7 runs. So,
although I think it was fairly testing soft, it. It was fairly active.
It won't be that soft, is it?
No, maybe it won't be actually tomorrow.
And it was fairly testing Uttoxeter when he ran there. You know, it wasn't good to soft, and there's, well, they reported it good to soft on Midlands National Day when it was basically heavy.
Yeah, fictional ground description.
I don't know if I made
a phantom ground description.
I put it in Form Hack. I don't know if it made the cut with the subs. I called it hilariously inaccurate. So I'll say it here if I didn't make it in the print.
It's fine. I mean, look, there's absolutely no, you know, prior history of any weird going stick.
Oh, absolutely no. What are you saying?
I don't know. Who knows?
But yeah, so I've also just, this is the secondary one, I did actually put up Cruise Control. I think the market's been, has forgotten about him too quickly. He went off 11-2 for the rehearsal a couple of weeks ago. He always comes on for his first run. And he actually, he moved into the race. And then, you know, Newcastle's a couple of fences where you struggle to see what happens when they jump it. One of them's 6 out. Mm. And he actually stumbles on landing 6 out. And as soon as that happens, he's struggling. I don't think he was ever that happy in the ground, if I'm honest. And he was travelling, and he moved himself into the race, hit 6 out, breathing out his backside straight away. Probably not fit. There's only 2 reasons I run him here. One of them is that they're just trying to get his mark down for going back to the entry race that he won the last 2 years. The other is they've gone, well, we had him in great nick for Newcastle, let's run him.
Yeah.
And this race tends to be weaker. And at 18-20-1, it's cheap to find out. Look, there's a world in which Cruise Control goes off 33s. There's not a world in which Blaze Away goes off, you know, bigger than about 6s, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I tend to think, looking at Cruise Control, it's the other one, because, again, it's a bit like Affadil last week. There are just, you know, horses have sort of rhythms, don't they? And you run two or three runs till February, March, and then suddenly you're back to yourself. Your marks come down, and you can go for the race.
I think last year they were forced a bit. The Lacey Yard in general struggled until March, April last year. So I think they were going to be forced to go back to entry a little bit. And there's also things like Godante last week. You know, you'd looked at him last week and thought, ach, nah, it's Imperial Cup for him. And then
that's literally what I said, and Robbie told me, he said, so why wouldn't you try and win this race? And he was right.
Yeah.
Which was great, because I bet Knickerbocker Glory. But anyway, the other one I thought was a little bit interesting was King Turgeon, who, again, I mean, there's a 2 pulled up efforts on his card, but surely Aintree was, you know, way too sharp for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really fancied him for that. He was disappointing, wasn't he?
Well, I don't. Was he beating 8 lengths over a trip?
I was just really sweet on him that day.
So you've got the old.
So he's in my bad books, to be honest.
Yeah, fair enough. What do you like?
Basically, just copy and paste what Keith said about Blaze the Way, and add in that this horse is, you know, he's related to Charlie Hall winner.
Yes, that's that
Weird Al.
Yeah, Weird Al. Yeah.
So the fact that he's run a career best RPR over 2 mile, 2 furlongs last time, RPR of 102, makes you think that he could improve £10 on that. And if he does, he's going to be very competitive. Danny Mullins there for one ride. I'm very keen on him, to be honest. I could see him shortening a little bit more to what he is at the moment.
Mags Mullins hasn't had a runner at Cheltenham since the COVID festival, actually.
Exactly, so 2020. And she obviously trained Martello Tauta and the Albert Bartlett in 2014. She picks her moments and has a £30 level stakes profit at the track.
All right.
So that will do for me, Ross.
She's got an Albert Bartlett winner. They're always massive prices.
Yeah, true. That was responsible for most of it.
Yeah. So, but what you're saying is that she waits and there's another flu epidemic. She's gone, let's go. We've got,
you know that flu that's going around at the moment? Yeah, Mags Mullins has got a runner at Cheltenham. All bets are off,
that's
lads.
Well, history just continues to repeat itself, doesn't it? Lomprest is a 4-1 favourite, but a couple of excellent points made against some nice prices. But yeah, I think King Turgeon will... Well, what, you're the same handicap, Chase. I thought King Turgeon ran really well considering the trip at Aintree, but obviously Robbie lost money, so he's slightly...
That's the only thing, mate. If I didn't back him last time, I'd probably be interested. You know what I mean? Sometimes he's too emotional with these things.
Well, he wasn't too slow for that. I mean, he's not always been too slow for that course and distance. That's the sort of other thing I would say. And he's been out of form for a little bit of time. He was fortunate to win this race last year because Chianti Classico made a bad mistake.
Yeah.
Otherwise, would have beaten. So, you know, just enough against him for me. Look, I think he's his price myself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not talking him down, but I think he's his price.
Am I going mad, or has he shortened as we've been talking, or does he just keep moving around on the screen? Am I? Pretty sure he was 6-1, 32, but maybe.
Oh, there's some indecision in the gallery there, I think.
About what price he is. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, there's a chop around. We're currently not sponsored by anyone, so take best price.
Yeah, definitely take best price. Yeah, extra places. Right.
Extra places.
Get the extra places and everything.
And get what you can get. Right, next up to Cheltenham. In fact, let me just quickly check the chat for any strong opinions on that. Agree with Keith again, says Pompey Chris. Again, who's really is a sort of almost a Land's End John O'Groats love affair going on between Edinburgh's Keith Melrose and Pompey Chris. Romping Home says Gower Road so consistent. Again, Gower Road continuing his trying to do exactly what he did last year of running at every Cheltenham meeting throughout the season. And actually, the only thing I would say about Lomprest, what I was going to say was whilst the likes of Jello, Venetia's had a couple of horses who've just destroyed their field.
Mm.
But she's also had a few. She had a couple at Leicester yesterday that turned into the home straight and just went and disappeared.
Yeah, but she can be like that. Her horses can be like that. What was Alcido, put him up in Form Hacker, the race he won at Newcastle, beating the Sue Smith horse, Grand Jest or Grand...
Yeah.
And they're both going to win more races. But Alcido is that funny type of Venetia horse that is improving. He's going one letter sort of thing, almost. And those are really frustrating horses to follow because obviously half the time you're going to get burnt. But there's certainly enough coming out of the yard.
Yeah, fair enough. The next race at Cheltenham is the Veterans Chase. And we have some absolute top-class veterans, or formerly top-class veterans, lining up here. Eldorado Allen, who was a winner here in a very similar race 28 days ago, is 3-1 favourite. Courtland 4-1, Fugitive 9-2, Copperhead 7s, Lemilos 8-1, Torn and Frayed 10s, Can You Call is 10-1, Whistle in the Dark, who won well last time out at Carlisle, is 11s, and we've also got former Cheltenham Festival winner Seddon in here as well. So this is, again, a race full of horses that if you haven't backed at least one of these, then you've probably only just started betting on horse racing this week, I would imagine. But I put it to you that as good as the Tizard horses are at the moment, as impressive as Eldorado Allen was last time out, beating Mr. Coffey and then getting put up in the handicap feels harsh?
I think it's a bit mean on Mr. Coffey, mate.
Is it?
Very consistent horse. We'll talk about him more in detail coming up. But I was dead keen on Eldorado Allen last time because he's so good fresh. Form figures after 189 days or more. 1-2, 1-1, 2-3, 2-1.
189's a funny old number to pick, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know. I didn't want to have like 50. It's not that much.
Fair enough, mate.
And he tends to, the second time after an absence, he either runs to a similar level or goes backwards. And if he doesn't improve on what he did that time, then this is quite open, I think. Whereas Fugitive, for example, always needs his run, but second time out, one in 2022, one in 2023, 2024, He finished third in the December Gold Cup over course and distance, off £12 higher if you're factoring in Charlie Maggs's £5 claim. I'm going to suit my argument.
like any good tipster.
Exactly. He has an annoying run style for this track, as I was saying to Keith earlier. He always gets held up. He's obviously quirky.
It's partly the reason he's not won the races he should have.
Yeah, exactly.
He was actually fifth in the Paddy Power on reappearance last year.
Yeah, he was, but he took a nice step forward. So his run style annoys me. He's good, might need it to fall apart a bit, but he's obviously well handicapped. He's, despite the run slow, still run plenty of good races here. And I'd be happy enough to take him at those odds.
But again, I mean, with handicap chases, where do you go and you're advantaged by being exaggeratedly held up?
Well, you could have read the form hacker in Wednesday's paper.
I did. And I'll be honest with you, Keith, I read most of it and I did skip the middle bit, and I think that's where it might have been.
Yeah, exactly, because I've said that loads and loads of times about.
Exactly. I did read it and I go, yeah, I know this bit, and I moved on.
Exactly.
So I was like, yeah, of course, problem runners.
But it does. What was interesting is that it gets more pronounced, because if the difference is made by horses having to slow down and speed up, you'd think it was races where they go faster that's the problem, was a sort of, there's a logic that says that should happen, it doesn't.
Yeah.
The bigger factor is there's more opportunities to be inefficient. So the going off the front angle matters more in longer distance races when there's more fences.
Right, fair enough. And what were the tracks where it?
I didn't do the tracks, but I mean the Cheltenham 2.5 mile track is particularly known.
Yeah,
it's because of that first three fences where they just go mad and whoever gets to it, and it just ends up a bit of a.
Well, also this, all tracks punish mistakes and errors and inefficiencies, but Cheltenham is so. I mean. It is never a moment's peace at Cheltenham, is there? You're either going uphill, downhill, you're turning, you're jumping. It's not. Some tracks, you watch a race and you can kind of. Again, Leicester yesterday. It's just you can kind of go, and another jump, and another jump. Whereas Cheltenham, like I said, so if you're out of position or you make a mistake, you're constantly punished for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stop reminding me, because I've backed Fugitive.
Well,
I know I'm taking that risk.
I was looking at Fugitif and I said to Robbie, I said, Robbie, I would have put up Fugitif, but I would hate myself. Because I've backed that horse for lots of races here.
Yeah.
And he just, the thing is, he's 11 now or 12, he's an old horse, and quirky horses like him that throw their head in the air, they don't get better.
He's only 10, mate, that's fine, that's no age.
That's no
age. What's that in human years?
Well, I don't know, it's
50?
About...
50? No, it's not really that much, is it? I don't know, if anyone knows on the chat, let us know.
I sort of go three times for horse age.
Yeah.
Is it, so he'll be about 30, really?
Yeah.
Only coming as prime, Rob, you'd say. But anyway, he's...
Is he a veteran?
He is a veteran, yeah, well, he's
Gemini saying.
He's not... He's not won the races he should have, and it's because he throws his head in the air when he has to go and win the race.
He throws his two heads
in the air. Oh, he's 35, mate.
35?
Yeah.
Oh, so he's a spring chicken.
That's fine, yeah.
Tell you who's definitely going to get the sort of ride that suits this track, and I'll tell you who actually beat Fugitif in one of those races where it was Seddon.
An old friend.
All right, okay.
Who, there is an element here, I think he might be on a bit of a farewell tour, because he's running the Cesarewitch and over the national fences the last twice. But on New Year's Day, he led jumping two out in the Premier Handicap on at Cheltenham before Springwell Bay just scooted past him. And obviously, unfortunately, we never got to see how good that horse was. But, you know, he jumped two out in front and he's now rated £5 lower. He was in this race last year. He's now £8 lower. And he's fit from running in the Cesarewitch of all races.
Yeah.
And it's just a race where you can... He's three times the price of Fugitif and you can definitely back Seddon each way because he's going to get the right ride. You know he loves the track. Everything about this, it says he's going to run a good race. So I thought each way on him was definitely the right thing. If something goes past him between two out and the last and he finishes second or third, I'll say fair cop. I've still got 16s, I think I'm on at.
Yeah.
I've still got my place bet. I think that's the way to play this race.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, said in 12 to 1. Like you said, yeah, there is a possibility that, yeah, if I owned a horse like Seddon, I'd be like, we fancy going... I was going to Newmarket for Cesarewitch Day. Can you put Enter Seddon for us? We have a nice day out. You won't be to Cheltenham in a while, have we? Anything for Seddon? There's a possibility of that, but it's a really tough race because, like you said, something. I like Fugitif, but the reasons you're saying. I like Copperhead, but Cheltenham. I like Lamy Loss, but there's going to be a day. The one I kind of had a look
Whistle
at.
Whistle in the Dark.
Whistle in the Dark.
Yeah, I backed him as well.
Yeah.
Just drop that in.
I quite liked it. I quite liked that win.
I looked at, I looked at the start of the win. Sean Bowman's dropped out. That caught my eye. He's obviously switched to his dad's horse, or Mickey. He's a mate of Mickey. Sorry, trains Cortland, the brother. But he was very, he was impressed with Collar, beating the Widowmaker, who ran quite well behind Be Aware at Stratford the time before. He's only had two runs at Cheltenham, but I think that they're off much, much higher marks in much deeper races at the festival. And another one at the December meeting, I think, like years ago. So I think there's not enough evidence to say he doesn't go at Cheltenham. I think he's best over this sort of intermediate distance. He's spent quite a lot of his time running over 3 miles. So I thought he was also backable.
Yeah, he went missing for a while, didn't he, this horse?
Yeah, he's come back.
Yeah, I mean, and they used to think he was a good ground horse as well.
You used to rate him, actually, didn't
you? Oh, I did. He was a bit of a horse to follow for me. I backed him in the Paddy, for the Paddy Power at big prices one year. But yeah, he went missing, and there was a thought that he was a good ground horse, but his last two good runs have both been on softer ground.
Yeah, okay. He's got a chance. Sure. Yeah,
I thought so. Again, it's not my, I don't like betting in chasers. I don't like betting in big field handicap chasers. I don't like betting in veterans handicap chasers. I mean, it's going so far down the list. So I won't have a bet, but I had to have a look at it, and I did think,
don't like betting in chasers.
No, for the reason...
I know you do prefer hurdles, I know that, but...
But primarily for the reasons that Keith said, like, because you go, I fancy this horse, and then after two fences you think, well, I can't win.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to bet. I don't want to bet where there's almost a 50-50 shot where you think, depending on what happens in the first 20 seconds, my bet's lost.
Well, see, interesting that, because I do, obviously, a bit of sprint. I do sprinters on the flat, but it's even worse there, because sometimes...
I don't bet in sprints either.
It's a bit too stressful,
but like,
discipline.
After 2 seconds, you can know your sprint bet's beat, because if it sleeps out the boxes, you're...
But this is why I stick exclusively to hurdles, and I love 7 to 10 furlongs. Oh, sweet spot.
It's like the Badger Beers, the most infuriating race that we're all fuming at, thinking Soul Icon was going to make the running, and then the trainer come out and said, are we going to hold him up because you know if he stays?
The only time I'll ever bet is if I'm sat there on the exchange and the race is on and I'll go, right, I'm just going to click the horse who jumps out in front. And
you said that to me at Cheltenham when we were on Betfair last festival. You're like, you might as well just bat this now and end up winning.
Yeah, and it did, didn't it?
Yeah, it was like quite a big price.
I can't remember what
it was. Was
it not the thing that won the Grand Annual?
Or was it My Town, maybe? Nah.
It might have been. I think it was.
Or could it have been the Grand Annual?
It was definitely one of them where I was just like, let's just bat this now. And then watched the entire race and then you went, did you? And I was like, no. So, fair enough. Pompey Chris, small win bet from Etorn and Frayed. Andy Rigby as well. He says, hopefully, the Twist and Davies horse runs well in this one and my wallet will be torn and frayed. Though this is toughest veterans chases, says Ian Copperhead, who's the stable's second string, does well in these races and looks an each way bet at 7-1. And Tom Leach says, Seddon has no chance, Keith. Jesus.
Tom Leach has got an opinion on every race, hasn't he?
Yeah. Who do you fancy then, Tom?
Yeah, he's probably said somewhere.
Surely.
He probably has some. I don't know.
Oh, well.
Right. The race we've all been waiting for is the 3 o'clock contest. It is, of course, the Glenfarclas Crystal Cup. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like if we keep mentioning the sponsors, maybe they'll send us something. In fact, shout out to the was it Dimp? I think on Twitter sent us a link saying that we keep complaining that wine company won't send us any wines, so he sent us a free sign up to the Virgin Wine Club. So thanks for that, Dim. He's like, if you stop complaining, basically sign up yourself, get your own wine, I think was the message there. The cross-country chase then, again, a race where you'll either be glued to the telly whooping and hollering with joy or glued to the kettle waiting for it to boil. Gerive de l'Est is definitely not how you pronounce it, but it's 4-1 favourite. Late Night Pass 6-1, Busselton 6-1, Mr. Coffee, speaking of putting the kettle on, is 6-1. Iseo Magic is 7s, Final Orders 15-2, Unanswered Prayers is 8-1, Placenet is 11s. And then bigger prices, the rest, including Favori de Champdu, Am I Right, Statuario, Peaches and Cream, The Big Breakaway, and Vital Island. But you were speaking about Mullins horses being sent over. And
Gerive de l'Est.
French import, Paul Byrne Silks, Emmett Mullins, Cross Country. They're not, that doesn't feel right, that combination of words.
No, I wonder, he's been clipped in a few points. I wonder what's the source of that money? Is that just defensive money? Or is that a significant money?
Because you just don't know, do you? All his horses get. He had one at Leicester. I did do the Leicester card yesterday. So, but he had one at Leicester yesterday. Tim Vaughan handicap debut, changed to Paul Byrne, sent off 13-8 favourite, travelled like a dream, got beat.
Everyone's guessing, aren't they?
Yeah, a little bit.
And I think it's the same a lot of these. Like, I read here a lot of these. I'm going to put myself in trouble here.
Go on then.
Because you know what I like? Mr. Coffee.
Mr. Coffee, yeah.
No, people are going to slag me off, and I'm gonna tell you why he's actually a bit harshly treated.
Okay?
Harshly treated as in, like, by the handicapper or by us?
By people slagging him off.
Right, fine. Go on then.
I feel like tomorrow might be the day.
No, I want you to justify right, okay. 17 defeats and offences.
Yeah, come on.
Let's go through one by one.
Since the 2023 Grand National, Mr. Coffey is running 7 premier handicaps or cross-country chases.
Yeah.
And you've gotten each way return every single time.
Yeah, fair.
And he's never been short on 5-1.
And you know what
they're going to be trying really hard to win this.
You know what mark he was after that Grand National?
Yeah, he's not that much different now.
It's exactly the same. That's the problem, isn't it? It's like, well,
yeah, but
the problem is in his
head. He ran a cracker. He beat Fugitive last night. Fugitive ain't going to lose that race before. Over a trip that's obviously inadequate. We know his best run last season came over at this in this very race when second to Stumptown, who was the top dog in the division. I don't know. I think he's not a terrible each way shot.
Sad thing about Mr. Coffey is you can't do a horse like when he passes away, unfortunately, you can't cut him open and realize and see how good he could have been.
what was blocking it?
You can't, like, you won't cut him out and you'll be a 170 in there and you can tell, but he clearly just keeps it back.
Yeah. However, and again, look, 6-1 to five places, 5-6. Five to six to finish in the five.
That is a Ross Briley bet. Unbelievable.
That's a Jeff Boyk. That's the straightest bat you can play at.
He's going to run his race. He's going to be ready to rock. Like, yeah. That's
but
my way in. Because I feel like.
He doesn't want to win, does he?
Well, he wants to beat every horse apart from one of them, doesn't he?
He wants to just have a lovely time. He wants to run around with all his friends, and he's very supportive. He's like,
he runs a lot of good races.
He does, and but he doesn't win, Robbie.
He doesn't win, but he actually wins you place money.
Yeah, I know.
So that was my angle. Five to six premier chases.
To be fair, that is a bet I'd have.
Yeah, that's genuinely a good. I was expecting sort of 1-2 or something.
7 cross country or premier chases, place returns on all of them. So 5-6. That's the nap, mate.
11-10 to finish in the four.
Oh, let's not get carried away.
No. You think he's harshly treated?
I'm joking.
Ross is going to back both them. Yeah. He's going to have 11-10 to be in the four, 5-6 to be in the five.
Yeah. And then when you're all going, what a finish, I'll be going, fourth, great. Perfect, lovely stuff.
If you are doing a naughty each way multiple, though, get him in it.
Yeah. Place accumulator, place part, whatever you're going for.
I don't know. I've just got this feeling he might do it tomorrow. I've never had that feeling before with him.
All right.
So.
Well, yeah,
I'm probably going to be wrong, and we're going to be laughing this time tomorrow, but we'll see.
I feel it's a bit like, it's like when people wake up and go, I could win the lottery today. And everyone has that feeling once, and this is your day.
It just never happens, isn't it?
Look, I would love him to,
It's going to be hilarious when he does it.
I would love to see it. I genuinely would. It would be front page stuff, wouldn't it? He'd be parade. You should retire him instantly afterwards.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
As soon as he crosses the line. Keith, is Mr. Coffey going to win the cross country?
No, I don't think he is.
I'm not persuaded, you know.
No, you've not. Ross has persuaded me.
Yeah.
Those are bets. Because I struggle with the cross country. It's not a race I especially like. The way the market's going, I don't think it's going to be the day. But I did look at the race and think, am I right, is just the sort of underachiever that runs well in these races. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been fourth in he was fourth in the Galway Plate last time. The way the market's going, maybe today's not, they get livelier ground on a cross-country course compared to the rest of the Cheltenham course. So I think it might be the festival they're going for with him or whatever, but I think he'll run a big race over these fences at some point, I expect. I would need the market to speak in his favour to say it's today. But yeah, I'll be keeping a wee eye on him with a view to maybe, you know, the day that the market speaks positively for him over the banks, because he's the sort of horse that I think will suit these races.
Yeah, no, I'm inclined to agree. And to be fair, his last couple of runs in the summer were fantastic runs.
Yeah, absolutely. He won is it the Midlands National, they call that, Kilbeggan or whatever. It is
the Midlands National, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's not the real Midlands National, though.
The Kilmurry's Home Value Hardware.
Oh.
Midlands National.
You're getting some nails in the post.
sounds ominous, doesn't it? But, okay, so Am I Right is...
I've got best price 20s on this on the card.
I'll do.
Maybe.
Top weight in a handicap, yeah. Matt.
Well, he's just... The thing is, his mark's not immediately brilliant, but he's probably just better than them, isn't he? But
2-1 in the five?
2-1 in the five. The thing is, he probably either wins or finishes quite far. Or he goes very close or goes out the back a bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's got my attention for cross-country races. Whether or not it's today, we will see.
Okay, fair enough. It might not... I mean, again, the De Bromhead horses, it's another yard that's a little bit strange in the sense that they're running well. They're constantly running... What?
Johnny Pearson, your friend and mine,
yes,
has been he's been mithering everybody all week, thinking that because they went like 30 odd runners without a winner in the Bromheads,
yeah,
and he's thinking it turns this week, lads, it's going to turn this week, and he's had a winner today at Punchestown, and I think he told finance department.
He just needs to stop going on about it, mate. I mean, that's what I told him at Christmas party. Like, don't tell anyone about this, mate. Nothing, people don't care that much. And I think he took it on board because he had a good night by all accounts.
But Johnny gets bees in his bonnet like this, and you know
he's not wrong, but
he's not wrong.
Don't keep saying it.
Yeah, fair.
That's
enough.
All I'm asking for.
It's like you sit I'm three chairs away from you, Johnny. We get it. He's had a winner.
Made your point. Now move on.
All right, fair enough. And with that in the locker, let's move on. Words in the chat. Just place bet, Mr. Coffee. Job done, says Lee Richardson. Welcome to the team, Lee. Yeah. And light late night pass here, says Steve. Won it 2 years ago off £2 lower. This is the second run after a wind up with Gina over 3 mile 5. And Ian Macy says, not had a bet on this race in Spot the Difference, won it a few times. Yeah, I haven't had a proper bet since, was it Bless the Wings?
That was a few years ago. Put up Potter's Corner for this race a few years ago when I sat in for Price Wise. Might have been 2019.
Nice.
And he got done a short head.
Oh, not nice.
I was on a treble that day as well. I was on a treble on Price. You text me. You said, who do you think you are? Tom Siegel.
Oh, yeah. And then he got beat and you weren't.
Yeah, and I wasn't. Got done a short head and all of a sudden I wasn't.
Yeah. Right, last race on the card tomorrow at Cheltenham is a cracking little handicap hurdle over 3 miles. Lucky Manifest 11-4. Tranquil Sea 4-1. Again, what year is it? 9-2 long draw. We can have a Tranquil Sea Melon double.
Yes, let's have a Tranquil Sea Melon double.
We've got been transported back in time. Long draw is 9-2. Kintara 6-1. Titan Discovery 8-1. Pike Road 12s of Spike Jones and 16s Bar.
Can I have a wee bit of fun before we start this one?
Go on then.
Why are we saying Tranquil Sea, mate? Why are we talking?
Yeah, I've never heard of that horse, mate. Yeah, I was keeping stumped.
And you won the Paddy Power in 2008 or 9. You won the Paddy Power.
Racing
didn't start till 2011.
Yeah. I think 2009, because I think it was Lantartique won it in 2008. Lantartique. And then 2009 was Tranquil Sea. Or an Imperial Commander won it in 2008.
Yeah, yeah. God, the past was meta. speaking of which, Lucky Manifest 11-4. I am obviously biased because of the race share connection.
Well, I was going to ask if you were still interested there, yeah.
However, but not only that, I think he's a bit of a cracker, this horse. He absolutely dotted up at Kelso. He ran into a Skelton special last time out in a Pine and Ob. And you know who, does this make him, who his, uncle? No, half, I don't know. He's from the family of Take the Stand.
Oh, Take the Stand, you don't know. there's a good story about Take the Stand.
Peter Bowen,
he finished second in the Gold Cup 1 year. Was it one of Best Mate? Or it was Kicking King.
Yeah.
Finished second in the Gold Cup, and he was in the National for a mark of like 153. And he apparently, Tony Dobbin, who rode him, jumped off. And the owner said, Grand National there then. Mm. Not if he jumps like that, said Dobbin. Because he wasn't much of a jumper, Take the Stand, but he finished second in a Gold Cup.
Yeah. And his last run over hurdles, he was rated 96. Take the Stand.
Wow.
And then in the space of about 18 months as a 7 or 8 year old, he went from winning a handicap chase off of 114 to finishing second to Kicking King in the Gold Cup.
That was Boeing in those days though, wasn't it? I bet.
Yeah, but this horse steps up to 3 miles and everything in his pedigree is three miles. You will be all over him in 2 years for all these staying handicap chases.
He just stands an absolute mile in this race to me. I think I agree. I was going to ask you about the horse specifically because of the race share link. But something I have noticed as a side point, it's not directly related to backing this horse or not today. I've noticed, obviously, race share, who have some very brilliant minds in their stable, and I've seen a Tony Bloom horse in the last week. Both with Tom Lacey.
Yeah.
The big boys know Lacey's good. I know Lacey's good. Of course he's brilliant. the big boys now are onto it. Tom Lacey is really, really good. I'm glad to see him getting that patronage.
Do you know what makes him better as well is that because he's quietly spoken, yeah, goes about it quietly, and I think because he's not the type to shout about himself, he's just not getting great winners here, there and everywhere. And if this was a Henderson or even a Ben Paulin, maybe with that kind of profile, you could probably knock, I don't know, half a point.
Imagine Skelton had got a horse of James Ewart, gone 1-1-2, and he's stepping up in trip to suit his pedigree.
Thistle-Askle all over again. He's limited to eight. What was that?
He's limited to eight, if it's Skelton. Yeah.
Do you know what? I was going to text you about this horse on Monday, but I felt so...
You put it up?
I felt so ill that I sort of couldn't be bothered, I don't know. But
it never
happened. And I saw he was jocked up on BHA Racing Admin, and I thought, yeah, this is a logical... He was like 6-1. I got a bit of fives in the end. Yeah, I thought it was very logical. The time of that hurdle race was about 4 seconds quicker than what Nomad Drum with this end ran at Cheltenham. So, I mean, that horse looks a bit special. Come out and won as he likes at Sandown. So, yeah, as you allude to, obviously, the Skelton horse come out and won since. Just looks the obvious wager to me.
Yeah, I mean, we do have a Skelton horse in here in the shape of Tranquilcy, but Marlick, who was another ratio horse, got beat earlier on. I think he bled in the end, but he's not the strongest in the finish always. The worry for me is long road now in a race that I think he can actually
long draw. Long draw.
Say it again.
Long draw.
Long draw, sorry. What did I say?
Long road.
Long road. I've not heard that one.
It's just getting to the end of the show. It's felt like a long
road.
We're
all knackered, haven't we?
Yeah. It's been a lot. 2025 has been a long road. But long draw, yeah. Again, it's been a while since he's been a class act in a race. He's the worry for me.
I can see it for sure. I mean, he might find himself a bit left back. He has another horse that he goes into place. Well, it's probably the seventh race, this actually. But, you know, to turn a phrase, he's a place bot horse, isn't he?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Okay.
I think so. I think your Lucky Manifest is standing out a little bit in this race.
Like Lucky Manifest sounds like a real Hong Kong name, that doesn't
does,
it?
Does, absolutely
yeah,
does.
Run a shot in. What's going on there?
Were you seeing that as well?
Psychedelic.
I thought I was having a breakdown. But,
going on in that gallery?
They've got all sorts of horses coming out of us there. Titan Discovery for Romping Home, Titan Discovery for Tom Leach, Titan Discovery for Johnny Schofield. Titan Discovery got a chance, guys?
Plenty of love. Yeah. No, not for me. I think it's a one-off book, to be honest.
Okay. Although I do like Robbie Llewellyn.
Like Robbie Walters, don't
I? I do. I like a good Robbie.
Yeah, plenty of us. Let's find out if he's actually Robbie, not just one of these Roberts pretending to be a Robbie.
Were you christened Robbie?
Yeah.
To Mr. and Mrs. Wilders, a son,
Mr.
Robbie.
Mrs. Yeah. Wilders, yeah.
You don't get many of them, do you?
And this is before Robbie Williams was famous, so don't give me all this stuff I've been named after.
No, it's absolutely not.
Yeah,
he wasn't before he was famous.
Well, do you know how old I am, mate?
You're 31 or 30?
32.
So you'd have been 93. Born... 93. Well, when you were born, were you not August?
Yeah.
Everything
I was
changes.
A young baby.
Everything changes was number one in August 1993.
Some knowledge. It looks like they're trying to get rid of us, so the things have gone off the screen.
Yeah, I think...
I think it was actually pre... Never think.
Right.
Oh my God. Anyway. Things you didn't know about Keith. He loves Vinted. He's 7 foot tall and he knows the entire history of Take That singles release.
It's more 90s chart actually than Take That specifically, I should point out.
No, fair. Now that's what I call knowledge. Right. We will have the naps in just a second, but before we go there, what has the gallery got to put up on the screen for me pre-naps? Let's have a look. There you go. Give yourself a Christmas present. Why not? Right. Friday of a wonderful 2 days at Cheltenham. Best bets, Mr. Wilders, it's over to you.
Mr. Coffey.
You are...
No, I'm whining you
up. Place.
Can't do that. Well, that's
mine.
A good one, isn't it? No, I'll have the Ben Paulin horse in the opener. One boy, our boy Stan, 12:05.
Our boy Stan. All right. Mr. Melrose?
I don't want to nick you, but it is Lucky Manifest in the 6:25 at Sha Tin. But no, in the last, he's the one that is the sort of likeliest winner. But you probably want to stay and chase it out of me, and I'm going to stick with Blaze the Way because that'll keep shortening up, I think. So yeah, Blaze the Way for me in the 150.
All right, lovely stuff. And yeah, I'll go for Lucky Manifest for Tom Lacey and Stan Shepherd stepping up in trip in the last at in Cheltenham, and hopefully taking after his esteemed family members in relishing the distance. On the chat, what have we got? No naps, but Ian Macy says Relight My Fire and Babe were number one in 1993. Yes. Everything Changes was 1994.
I've changed off that. Pray was the first Pepsi chart number one when Dr. Fox started doing it in 1993.
Right. Join us tomorrow night for more racing previews. And who knows what else? Like, subscribe, see you there.